हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Talk of 49. Yeah? Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, after Garga Muni, having instructed Nanda Maharaj about Krishna, departed for his own home, Nanda Maharaj was very pleased and considered himself full of all good fortune. After a short time passed, both brothers, Rama and Krishna, began to crawl on the ground of Braja with the strength of their hands and knees and thus enjoy their childhood play. Footnote 20. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 21 to Bhagavad Akramichi Mala chapter 19 entitled Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, the unlimited dimensions of rasa, siddha prema rasa, rasa garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So they're doing this to please themselves. They're happy by it, right? So Prayojana means to please Krishna, so they're pleased by this pastime of crawling on the ground, you know, with their hands and knees and all that. And so that makes them happy. Srila Prabhupada comments, one Brahmana devotee says, Shrutim apare smritim itare bharatam anye bhajantu bhava bhitaha aham iha nandam vande yasyaline param brahma. Let others, fearing material existence, worship the Vedas, the Vedic supplementary Puranas and the Mahabharata. But I shall worship Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard the Supreme Brahman is crawling. Footnote 21. This verse, recited by Raghupati Upadhyay, was later included in Srila Rupa Goswami's Padyavali 126. It appears in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 1996. For a highly exalted devotee, Kaivalya, merging to the existence of the Supreme, appears no better than hell, Narakayate. But here one can simply think of the crawling of Krishna and Balaram in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj and always merge in transcendental happiness. Right? So just by thinking, one comes to that transcendental position and increases one's love for Krishna. So Krishna likes doing these things, that pleases him, and devotees remembering these things, it increases their love for him. That's why all these verses where Krishna does something specific in his pastimes just to please himself, that brings that point out, because it pleases him, because he likes to do it. It attracts the devotees and develops their love for him. So on all platforms, it's on that platform of Prayojana. As long as one is absorbed in thoughts of Krishna Lila, especially Krishna's childhood pastimes, as Parikshit Maharaj desired to be, one is always merged in actual Kaivalya. Right? Because that oneness with Krishna, in that you're absorbed in the pastime, so that mood, that's what is there. Right? Because Braja has a specific mood, to be absorbed in that mood. Or whatever it is, if Vaikuntha, Dwarka, but the point is you're absorbed in that mood of Krishna. Right? That's the oneness that we're talking about. It means a separate existence, but it's oneness in that aspect.
So this is a real Kaivalya.
This is real Kaivalya, mm-hmm. Yeah. It means this is the Kaivalya that's why we say the devotees are situated on the transcendental platform, the spiritual platform. Because this is there. This is eternal. This spiritual platform is eternal. Mm-hmm. Well, what the impersonalists do by thinking that they will merge into the Supreme, which they can't. Mm-hmm. They just think they do. You know, just like if I put you in a brilliant white room, with, you know, like say, I don't know, 10,000 watts of light halogen lighting. You're wearing pure white. We make you give you one of those meme faces, you know. Does that make sense? Like that, and then white clothes, everything's white, you know, then you might think I've merged. But you haven't. There's still walls, lights, you know, chair, your clothes, you know, the painting on your face. It's all there. Is that... Yeah. As long as... What, okay. Therefore, Vyasadeva compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. Lokas ya janato vidvams chakre sattvata samhitam. Srimad Bhagavatam 176. Vyasadeva compiled Srimad Bhagavatam under the instructions of Narada so that anyone can take advantage of this literature, think of Krishna's pastimes, and always be liberated. So that's the point. Anyone can take care, because if you are a living entity, you can take advantage of it. If you're actually a rock that's not alive, then you can't take advantage of it. But everybody else can take advantage. So that's the point. This is the universal principle. So to say, oh, well, this is Indian, then you have to take everything's Indian, and so then you wouldn't do anything. Right? And then the problem is Jesus is from Brahmaloka, so that also makes him Indian. Yeah, and he's Jewish. Insult to injury, right? You know, it's like Hindu and Jewish? My God. You know, I can't get worse than that. Okay. So, yeah, so that's the whole point. Okay. So they'll always be liberated. It means they're freed from all material contamination. They're always situated there. So that's eternally. So developing a relationship with the Lord, being absorbed in that, that is actual liberation. So all the other liberations are already contained in bhakti. They're not separate. Right? But for one's own transcendental interest, one might have interest in these, but for we see in Braj just pure unalloyed, then it's not there. So you're actually on the spiritual platform with the Lord, you're on the same planet. You know, you have a matching, a compatible form. You're in, you're, how you say this, how you say it, have the same kind of opulences that match that particular pastime. Does that make sense? So all of them are there, but for the devotees in Vrindavan, they're not actually interested in these. They're simply interested in that love for Krishna. Like that. Yoga Maya arranges the rest. Right?
Can we say that devotees in Vrindavan are always on the level of Prayojana?
Yes. Because but it's not that, it's on the level of Prayojana, but it's not that you don't have some Mandabhide and Prayojana there you want to look at. But they all go on simultaneously. But because they're always situated in that pure love, everything that they do will always be correct, you know, perfect on that platform. They won't make any mistakes. But in a conditioned position, we make mistakes because it's not us. But when the soul is acting in its natural position, what mistake can be there? No, but if you're there based on that position of love, then it'll never go outside of that. So how will it do? It's only when the love isn't fully understood, we might mix things that don't mix. Just like if you're a very good cook, you never mix things that don't mix. You can make up some new recipe, it will work. If you don't know, you can come up with all kinds of strange and wonderful things that may not go so well together.
So can we say that there sambandha adhideya, they always, I mean, sambandha is perfect. That's why the rest is also perfect, and because...
Yes, because they're always functioning in that platform of prayojana, of prema. And so then they see their relationship based on that point of prema, their activities based on prema. That's the point of sarva dharmam paritya, is that you give up all these religious aspects for the actual understanding of that love for Krishna. Then from that platform, if you view the religious practices, then they actually have the topmost position. But otherwise, we can view the religious platform, but for our own purpose. You know, it's just like, okay, as we say, is okay, we have a particular conditioned nature, so we identify that I function in this capacity to do these duties. So now, in the beginning stage, then we may be doing those because we do identify with the conditioning, and so we do prefer those activities and the results that are gained, because Krishna knows what activities and results go with which nature, so we're quite happy. But we're connecting it to Krishna, but the point should be is that we're trying to please Krishna, and since we happen to be in this particular conditioned state, that's why we use this. Not that use of this is actually the best position. You know what I'm saying? That's the point. We're householders, so therefore we do these things. But it has to be, no, I'm a devotee, and since as a devotee I'm situated as a householder, therefore I engage household things in Krishna's service. Just like Yudhishthira, Mars, and Arjuna. Then they're going to engage Kshatriya things in Krishna's service, right? Because that's the position they happen to be in. Right? But it's based on their love for Krishna, not on the position. We start off with Varnashram and these things as, this is my conditioned position, I like that, therefore I do it, I connect it to Krishna. By being connected, it gets purified. By being purified, it comes to the point of pure devotion. In pure devotion, then we see it's actually pleasing Krishna is the real thing. So pleasing Krishna is the real thing, then therefore, we want to do that through an expression. What expression do we use? We have our conditioned nature. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole point, is we're trying to get to where we look at it from that side, not from the other side. So it doesn't change what you do. It changes the perspective in which you do it. But we think that, no, the material perspective, that will give the best taste. Because if I can... If I am in a position of control and enjoyer and serving Krishna, how do you get better than that? You know, it's just like the perfection, right? You know, so as one devotee was complimenting another devotee, says, "You have all the devotional opulences," like that. You know, he says, "You're a devotee, you're from New York, and you're Jewish." He doesn't get better than that. Like that. So that's the whole thing. We're looking at it from that side. No, it's the point is you take your position and you engage it in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the thing. So in the beginning, we actually are inspired by the Varnashram activities. Like I remember when Bhavananda came in one time and he was trying to harass. So he was saying, I think Achyutananda was doing the arrangement, the yajna for the festival or for something. And he says, yeah, you know, he's got so many pots. I think there's 30 pots and there's this. And then he was going on trying to describe all the ritualistic aspects and how opulent they were. And he was expecting that I was going to, wow, that's great, like this and that. And then harass me for, you know, about being in the external, as it's about the devotion, not about these things like this. But I didn't respond, oh, that's nice. And then he said, you're advancing. So he was happy. Because right? Otherwise, if it had been some time before, it's like, you know, I would have just gone downstairs. Right? Yeah, so the whole point is it's about pleasing Krishna. And then you do what is there. See, in the spiritual world, there, let's say, for example, Mother Yashoda, then she has love for Krishna in that pure unalloyed, as in Braja Bhakti, and in specific, that of parental rasa. That therefore generates her form. Right? And therefore the activities that go with that form to please Krishna in parental rasa. So you see, actually the situation is that in prema. But when we analyze it, we'll start from Sambandha. Okay, she's Mother Yashoda, she has this relationship with Krishna and this and that. But how does that form and position and duties come up? It's because of the particular love she has. So we're being offered, Krishna's offering in Gita, to get back to that position, as opposed to using this other, you know, mechanistic position. Right? So as long as it's valuable, we use it. Just like you use a thorn to take out a thorn. But as soon as the thorn's taken out, what do you need the thorn for anymore? Okay. Does that make sense? So then it's just a matter of pure devotion. So Nanda Baba, Mother Jashoda, they perform duties of household life, not because they have anything to gain or there's an attachment, but because that's how they can express perfectly their love for Krishna. So that's what Gargamuni was saying. So as your son, you have such a special son, so therefore take care of him so nicely. Is that what it is? Yes.
I'm just trying to understand that for practicing devotee, for Uttamadipari, it's understood that Sambandha Abhidhaya and Prayojana are all perfect.
Yes.
But then for Madhyama, it seems that Sambandha and Prayojana is perfect, but still the Abhidhaya is where he practices. But then what about the new form?
And just add in that one. See, for the neophyte, they have faith, right? So as soon as there's faith, means that committed faith that, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then that's at the point where you say that they're a devotee. Right? That's when it becomes serious.
Yeah.
Right? So then they're identified as devotees, and so all the etiquette and everything that is applied to devotees applies from there. Before that, there may be some agyata sukriti, they're inclined, they're interested, they like to hang around, they like the prasad, they like the discussions. Like I remember in Calcutta, there was this I'm not sure what he would have been, late 20s, maybe early 30s or that, from very, very wealthy, aristocratic, educated, you know, background from Calcutta. He used to love to come to the temple and talk with the temple president, because the temple president was really good at logic and arguing. And he really appreciated that. And so he would come in with his new atheistic philosophy and present it, and then have it completely ripped to shreds by the temple president. And they would sit and talk and eat things and this and that, and then he'd go away to think about it until he could think up a new one and then come back the next week or something like that. So regularly you'd see him always coming. And then they'd have their discussions, because he just liked that the Krishna consciousness was just so logical. So therefore he would think of arguments just to hear the logic. But he hadn't developed that faith, you know, in Krishna. That's the real thing. So he was just attracted by that. So that's the point, is the Vedic culture that is so perfect. You present that, people like it. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing, is they like these cultural things. And so one may use those, but ultimately it has to be about Krishna. So when the person develops the faith in Krishna, that's when then you say they have Shraddha. Right? Then it just starts to develop from there. So then that Shraddha is there. Then it's just a matter of the development of that, the maturation of that faith. So when it develops a little more, then they take up Sadhu Sangha. They always want to be in the association of devotees. Otherwise, like this person, they show up now and again. You know, when they're around there, they're cool, but it's not necessarily as important to them, or they like a few people, they don't like the rest of them. You know, or, you know, they think they're kind of weird. But, you know, at the point where then you like the devotees, you know, weird or not, you're happy with them. That's then Sadhu Sangha. So that means your faith is deepened, is matured more. Then when you're willing to follow the practices given, the authorized practices, that's the next stage. That's Bhajana Kriya. So that means more faith. So that's what I'm saying, is these traditions and that, these practices that people are opposed to, oh, that's Indian and don't follow that, that means their faith is not deep enough to actually take up Bhajana Kriya. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll try to do it in their own way that kind of matches their own thing. You know, like that. It's just like, let us say, remember once, it gave something my mom asked about, you know, if she chants and stuff like that. And yeah, now again, when I feel like it, you know, maybe put on a tape, you know, so chant along a little bit, you know, probably, you know, one or two bars and that's it. But she won't actually take it up because, you know, it's a whole different thing. Right? So that faith hasn't gone to that. So just functioning on a jnana sukriti. So when one makes up one's own systems, one does this, that means one doesn't have that faith, hasn't matured to that point. When it's come up, you've taken up the practices, and then in doing the practices, then as you start to notice your anartas, is Anartha Nivriti is after Bhajana Kriya. So if you won't take up Bhajana Kriya, how do you ever know what your Anarthas are? Right? So you can go on, you know, with your own ideas until you've taken it up properly, because then the heart becomes purified. Then it's a matter of deciding, do I want to keep this Anartha or let it go? Right? And so then that starts to go. Right? Then you come to the Madhyama, where the mature, there. Then now enough Anarthas are gone that your devotional service is steady. It's not distracted by all kinds of other things. Because that's the difference. When you take up Bhajana Kriya, it has two stages, Anishta and Nishta. So Anishta would include, in this lineup, Bhajana Kriya, you know, the position of Bhajana Kriya and Anartha Nivriti. But once that's covered or cleared, then that Bhajana Kriya, because that will continue, then it's called Nishta. But there's still some Anartha there. Right? So you see is that your association, your faith is greater, your association with devotees is deeper, right? For the Madhyama, it's deeper than for the neophyte, right? You know, they're appreciating the Anarthas that are there. They'll catch the more subtle things rather than the really, really gross ones. You know, so we start with that, and then it gets subtler and subtler. And so then you know, because then you're doing something for Krishna, and something before was what was connecting you to Krishna and you were advancing by. Then they'll start to see what is the material weakness in that application. The attitude or some attachment to a particular way of doing it when another way is actually better. Does that make sense? You know, it's like, I make all the decisions because, you know, you don't want to waste time in this, and it's all for Krishna and get things done quicker and efficient for Krishna. But then with time you start to see, well, that's a weakness because it's centered around myself. And if there's no one else who's qualified, yes, that's better to do. But if there's other qualified people, why wouldn't you consult with them? Because it's about Sadhu Sangha. So it's not about the management. Management is just a way to, you know, apply the faith, have the association, perform the sadhana, give up the attachments, be fixed in devotional service, develop that taste. That's actually what it's for. So I've had some material attachments to, you know, I'm the good manager, everybody else is not. Then I start to see, well, that's actually a material thing. So therefore, then I will now add into these other and give that up. But in the beginning, that's what how you advance, that you got in there, you did things, you made decisions, you made it happen, and it was successful and you advanced. But at the same time, there's still disturbances in the mind and this and that. So now you start to see, this is where it's coming from. Does that make sense? So that's what's going to happen now from that platform of Nishta on. Because there's still Anartha Nivriti, but it's going to be more subtle. From being fixed in devotional service to improve the quality until one comes to the platform of Bhava. Then at that point you can say Anartha Nivriti from the material condition aspect is gone. Now you just have to give up this neutral state towards Krishna that we've, you know, maintained and make it positive towards Krishna. So that's going to be the only, you could say, Anartha to give up. Right? Does that make sense? So then when you come to Prema. So therefore, the Madhyama is going to be seeing all these. So whatever position you're at, all the other things are there. It's just where the prominence. Right? Just like if when you first come to the temple and you're still functioning on Ajñāta Sukriti, is there not a taste for the chanting or association or prasad? There is a taste, but it's not as great as the devotee who's on the platform that we would identify that as ruchi. Because for us, it's that, it's, you know, it's all kind of far out, but then that moment when we think about it and make that commitment, we'll call that faith. Because that's the prominent thing. Then when you want to be with Vaishnava, then that becomes the prominent thing. Then when you take up the process, when you're the Anarthas, right? So we'll call it by which is the main thing, but all the others are there. Right? Just prema's lacking. That's. But it's some effect of bhava. But it's the potency of bhava up to ruchi. At ruchi, then that's actually, you could say, very, you know, bhava, but in a very minor. It's in its natural form, though it's not its full form. Right? Before that, it's the potency of bhava's making it work. So once one then gets to bhava, that being the prominent, now he has to move it forward to prema. Then coming to prema, now it's complete. That's why is called Purna. The spiritual is Purna. Prema Bhakti is Purna. Right? Does that make sense? Krishna is Purna. It's all, that's on that complete platform. So, verses 22 to 31, Krishna and Balaram's childhood exploits. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, when Krishna and Balaram, with the strength of their legs, crawled in the muddy places created in Braja by cow dung and cow urine, their crawling resembled the crawling of serpents, and the sound of their ankle bells was very charming. Very much pleased by the sound of other people's ankle bells, they used to follow those people as if going to their mothers. But when they saw that these were other people, they became afraid and returned to their real mothers, Jashoda and Rohini. Right? Because their mothers wear ankle bells, so then hearing that, then they would think. So they're moving like snakes. You know, you have that where you move, is that very much how you deal, so that, you know, they're nicely bending. So when they're real small, it's not like a... When they get older, they go in a straight line. But when they're younger, it's a very, you know, that arm goes out, it bends, and the other one like this. And so that's the thing, is they're moving like that. And when they hear ankle bells, they go that direction. Because they're crawling, then they're just going the sound, because you can see ankle bells. And then when they get there, then they figure out it's not, then they go off to the bottom. Right? So they take great pleasure in all these things. You know, as it said before, so these are just details of how they were taking pleasure in this aspect of the pastime with ankle bells and crawling. Dressed with muddy earth mixed with cow dung and cow urine, the babies looked very beautiful. And when they went to their mothers, both Jashoda and Rohini picked them up with great affection, embraced them, and allowed them to suck the milk flowing from their breasts. While sucking the breast, the baby smiled, and their small teeth were visible. Their mothers, upon seeing those beautiful teeth, enjoyed great transcendental bliss, right? Because then the child's growing, and so many things, they're nice, they're very attractive, because, you know, you want things to work out very nicely for the child. Like that. You notice always here, it doesn't just say that they suck the milk from their breast, but they suck the milk flowing from their breast, because the paternal affection was so great, the milk would actually flow. So even if they weren't sucking the milk, it would be flowing. Like that. So then, yeah. Within the house of Nandamars, the cowherd ladies would enjoy seeing the pastimes of the babies, Rama and Krishna. The babies would catch the ends of the calves' tails, and the calves would drag them here and there. When the ladies saw these pastimes, they certainly stopped their household activities and laughed and enjoyed the incidents. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, when they had become stronger, they became very attractive to all the women. In other words, these other pastimes, that would go on for some time. But then after some time, when they became stronger, a little older, a little more coordinated, right? Because there's a time when hand-eye coordination, it's not even important to them. Child. They have no concept of that the two go together. Right? You know, I think it's when babies are real small, they see their hands, they think it's something else, and they get afraid. You know? <Like that. laughs> You know. They became very attractive to all the women performing their pastimes as young boys. The women of Braja, seeing those boys in their pastimes, became blissful. What was their pastime? They held onto the tails of calves who were lying on the ground. The calves would get startled and stand up and begin running. The calves would pull them over the ground. The boys would not release their grip from the tails, but hold on more firmly out of fear. In this way, they began crying. So they get themselves in a position where they're going and they hold on, and then they're going and they're crying because they're going with it. Yeah. The gopis would then tease, "You are weaker than these small calves," thinking, taking milk from the udder. The gopis would laugh and free the boy's hands from the calf's tail. Right, so in the beginning they would get afraid, and so the gopis would come. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, when Mother Jashoda and Rohini were unable to protect the babies from calamities threatened by horned cows, by fire, by animals with claws and teeth, such as monkeys, dogs, and cats, and by thorns, swords, and other weapons on the ground, They were always in anxiety, and their household engagements were disturbed. At that time, they were fully equipoised in the transcendental ecstasy known as the distress of material affection. For this was aroused within their minds, right? So even though they'd be worried about all those things, they would have these anxieties, right? Because all these things are going on at once, right? They're sitting there and teasing the boys that the cows are stronger, calves are stronger than you, and they're, you know, just drinking milk and all that. And so these kind of things, but at the same time as they would always be protecting them and everything like that. And if someone else made a comment, then, you know, Mama Bear comes out. Srila Prabhupada comments, all these pastimes of Krishna and the great enjoyment exhibited by the mothers are transcendental. Nothing about them is material. They are described in the Brahma Samhita as Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. In the spiritual world, there is anxiety, there is crying, and there are other feelings similar to those in the material world. But because the reality of those feelings is in the transcendental world, of which this world is only an imitation, Mother Jashoda and Rohini enjoyed them transcendentally. Right? That's the natural position. They enjoy these pastimes. All the different crying emotions, positions, things that you're doing are all about expressing that love for Krishna. And so it's all just variety of taste. Now, when we try to taste this for ourselves in the material world, then these don't give the effect we expect of making us in ecstasy. Therefore, they give us disturbance. Right? Does that make sense? Though the women will work with a wider range of emotions than the men, thinking it will make them happy. Right? So the whole point is all these things, because it's not about Krishna, will at some point make us unhappy. Then we start with doing that for a long time, we become pessimistic, then we come up with the idea that these emotions, these expressions, this is what makes me unhappy, rather than it's not connecting it. Krishna makes me unhappy. Therefore we go down the same foolish path and try to give up these things, when they're just mediums for either material misery or spiritual happiness. So the very thing that could make you spiritually happy, they give up for the and mistaking it that it's material. That's the problem. Yes.
How do we understand these?
You have to speak louder.
How do we understand these transformations of the Lord?
These transformations of the Lord. Because they're ever fresh. Right? So it's not an age, it's the freshness. So 16 is adulthood. It's just 16 is the most fresh of all adulthood. And it just gets less fresh after that. Right? So Krishna's adult, so then from appearing up to adulthood, then everything he does is always fresh. Right? So his adulthood pastimes are always fresh. That's why he's always 16. And so then all these things, they're all fresh.
In Bhoma Lila, the Janma Lila and, you know, continuation, he's growing up to a certain age.
Yes.
But then in Golok Lila, there's no Janma Lila and he's not growing. So is that means he exists simultaneously in all the ages?
Yes. So it's according to the devotee's taste. Those who prefer a particular age, then they're always in those pastimes. Right? But Mother Jashoda is in all of them, because she's always there in all that, but the different elder gopis, if they have particular favorites, they'll be in those positions. Like that. But she's in all those pastimes in Golok and in Gokul. The other aspect is that all these things are the non-difference between the two places. Therefore, if it's happening in one, it's considered done in the other. Right, so in Goloka, because it's done in Gokul, that's where it's from. But in Gokul, that's the devotee takes birth also. Right? And so therefore, that's why then in Goloka, they can ask you where you're from and you can say. Because they're connected. You're born in a particular family. So therefore, in when the pastimes in Gokul, if they ask you where you're from, you can say. But also in Goloka, you can say. Because they're the same thing. It's just part of it's done here, part of it's done there. It's all one thing. You know, it's just like, let's say you have a big wedding where you have the whole ceremony and you have a reception. Right? It's all one thing. Now, at the reception, people, even though at the reception there's no wedding, there's no throwing the bouquet, there's no rice, you know, there's, you know, all these different things aren't there. But if anybody asks about it, let's say there they ask, you know, okay, who caught the bouquet? You explain from the other. It's all considered one thing. You know, just like Braj, Mathura, Dwarka are considered Krishna's one person. Therefore, he's referred to in all of them as one person. Right? Krishna, who is in Dwarka or in Mathura. Right? So when he goes to Kurukshetra, then the residents of Braja go there. They don't go, oh, well, that's Dwarka Krishna. We're only interested in Braja Krishna. So he never leaves Vrindavan, so we're not going there. Right? You understand? It's one person. Flavors will be different. That's the way it is anyway. When you're with a really good friend, you have one flavor. With you're with, you know, some kind of, you know, formula, you deal differently. But you're one person. Therefore, for any one person, you can, let's say that friend is also with you at that formal occasion. Now, generally, the formal thing is going to be the prominent. That's what people see. But there might be an aside where you mention something like that, and you get a chuckle out of it because of that. Does that make sense? So it's one thing, different flavors. So all the aspects that are necessary to set up the concept of time and space and birth and all these things that are necessary for humans, that humans are really worried about, right? Like that. Therefore, then you don't have to worry about them in Goloka because they're already done, established in Gokula. You know, where you're born, who's your parents, who you're married to, you know, all these things are already established there. Therefore, you don't have to worry about it in Goloka. So if there's no husbands, you don't worry about it. Does that make sense? Because it's already established that you have, though they're technically not there. But the flavor is if they are. So how that's arranged, then, I would say, when you get there, it'll be really sense. So stay tuned. Right? Keep chanting and all will be revealed. Does that make sense? Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, O King Parikit, within a very short time both Rama and Krishna began to walk very easily in Gokula on their legs, by their own strength, without the need to crawl. Footnote 22. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 26 to Bhagavad Arkamarichimala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, the unlimited dimensions of rasa, siddha prema rasa, rasa garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So now, them standing up on their own is by their own pleasure. It's not that by the modes of nature, now they're growing up, now they're standing. No, it's just their own pleasure that they took birth. Then they were lying on their back, then they have a point where they turn over. Then they're crawling. Then now they're standing up. So all this is just their own pleasure that they're doing this and tasting all these things. That's why it's in the Prayojana section. The unlimited dimensions of rasa. Thereafter, Lord Krishna, along with Balaram, began to...
It's incomplete. The footnote.
Oh, I see. I thought it was something else. Okay. Lord Krishna grew up more quickly than an ordinary child, and he attained the full age of Kishore, which generally takes 15 years to attain, in 11 years. The Lord grew very quickly in his childhood, is conformed in the current verse of Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.26, Krishna Sandarbha Anucheda 174. Right? So the Mahapurushas, they grow up at 1.5 times the age. So it's not more than that, because it still fits. more than that doesn't fit nicely into the human pastimes. Like that. So that means then, when he's 11, means, so it takes 15 years to become 16. Right? So 16 is full age, right?
Mm-hmm.
No? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now if we divide that into that by 1.5,
10 years,
8 months. Mm-hmm. So that's why they always say 11 years. Mm-hmm. Is that every time they're going to say 10 years, 8 months? Right. No. It's, does that make sense? So 10 years, 8 months makes 16. So that's why it said he stayed 11 years in Brudge. Because then at that time, by the pastimes age, he's 16. But in actual time, he's only 11. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why he could do Rasa dance when he's, you know, 7 or 8. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. But for other people, then he's just a 7-year-old kid, so it's really hard to attribute anything like that. You know, they have to see it from the transcendental point. So does that finish that, or it goes on?
It's finished.
Oh, okay. Thereafter, Lord Krishna, along with Balaram, began to play with the other children of the cowherd men, thus awakening the transcendental bliss of the cowherd women, right? Because up to that point, they were just themselves. But always these elder gopis would come over to their houses, this, that. And so then they'd be there. So at this point, then now that they're up and walking, now they can take part in pastimes with the other kids in Braja. Srila Prabhupada comments. The word Saharamaha, meaning along with Balaram, is significant in this verse. In such transcendental pastimes, Krishna is the chief hero, and Balaram provides additional help. Right, so Krishna's there, so then Balaram's there, he gives the backup, then it makes it even more nice. Because if you're doing something with others, then that person becomes more prominent. Right? Does that make sense? You know, one person's dancing, you know, like that, but if everybody else is dancing along with them, it makes it more prominent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know, same with that. Singing, this, everything's like that. So the more people behind them, then the more greater it seems. So Balaram is the main backup. Because from him, everything else expands. Does that make sense? So, other than the conjugal rasa, everything else is expanding from him. So, therefore, he's the main backup. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And you see, he's elder, so he has that touch of that parental rasa. He's the elder brother, so he takes care. Right, so from there, then, you know, that's there. Then there's the cowherd boys, which he is the prominent one. Right, Mother Jashoda will be the prominent in the parental. He's the prominent in the cowherd boys. Right, then you'll have the servants, which are also then expanding and supporting these two. And then the facilities and that, and all the devotees in the shanta. So those will all be expanding from him, because he's the samvit to make the arrangements for the pastimes. But the facilities for that, then it's expanding from that as the jnana, and which is his expansion. Does that make sense? So that's then controlled by Yogamaya. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, observing the very attractive childish restlessness of Krishna, all the gopis in the neighborhood, to hear about Krishna's activities again and again, would approach Mother Jashoda and speak to her as follows. Right? This is, yeah, means, yeah, in taste, then, the whole point is why are they doing this? Because you could say, oh, they're complaining, you know, or they're making politics, or they're criticizing, or, right? But, why are they doing it? It says here, observing the very attractive childish restlessness. Right, so this child of restlessness, the little kids, they're restless. They do something and then they do something. They get a toy, they look at it, play it, then drop it and go on to something else.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's why you have to have so many toys. Like that. Yeah. So then they'll go and approach again and again. They want to hear about Krishna's pastimes again and again. Therefore, they go and speak to her like this. Right? Does that make sense? So because of attraction to hear about the mundane, so again and again we come up with all these things because they bring that up. But the problem is then the mundane becomes mundane. Unless it's connected to Krishna, it gives no taste. So therefore, that's why then we give up prajalpa, fault-finding, you know, politics, all these different things, because they won't give taste. But discussing these same seeming items in Krishna's pastimes, they give great taste. So again, like the crying and all that, we have to adjust with this, that the personal dealings and all that, all the variety of activity, of all the emotions, all these are part of the natural human expression. Right? Different rasas, you know, have, you know, different aspects that they have there. Some have more, some have less, some, you know, some are the same, some are not. But the point is this wide range of human emotions and activities is all there in the spiritual world as the medium to express that love for Krishna, so that again and again they can interact, again and again they can discuss about Krishna. You understand? That's going on. When we take that for ourselves and it's brought here, then it can't give us any pleasure because it's not transcendental. But we're committed to the idea that it can be. So that's the problem. So the problem in the material world is our attachment that I'll be happy by being here and doing these things, when actually it can't. But so we just have to shift. We have to accept that all these things are transcendental. Not the, oh, but they're crying when we cry here, it's a bad thing, because it's a bad thing because it's not connected to Krishna. There it's a good thing because it's connected to Krishna. So what the conclusion is, if it's connected to Krishna, it's good. So we have to switch that consciousness. So that's why here we give up prajalpa, but there it's not a problem. Because what's the prajalpa about? Krishna. So technically it's sujalpa. Yeah? Okay. So Srila Prabhupada comments, Krishna's activities are always very attractive to devotees. Therefore, the neighbors, who are friends of Mother Yashoda, inform Mother Yashoda of whatever they saw Krishna doing in the neighborhood. Right? Notice they are the neighbors. Because that's where prajalpa all happens, is with the neighbors or about the neighbors. Right? So therefore, how can they have all these nice discussions about Krishna? Because they're neighbors. So it's an eternal principle. Right? Yeah. So that's the point. You move to a new place. What's the problem? Oh, we're all alone. Yeah, the neighbors, we're all alone. We know nobody. So the point, as soon as we know the neighbors, then we can talk prajalpa. Everything's perfect. Right? So, you know, I've been thinking about it. You know how you're not sad. You know, we can, you know, maybe, yeah, okay, you know, we should move back to the other. No, no, it's great and all that. You know, I just, you know, had a nice conversation with the, you know, the lady next door and best of friends. Now everything's all right. But until that conversation, then, yeah. Right. And then what are they going to discuss with the neighbors? Then whatever they saw Krishna doing in the neighborhood. Right? So that's the whole thing. What happens in the neighborhood? That's where all the prajalpa, right? The idea you move to the big city, then you don't know neighbors, you don't, then so-called less prajalpa. And it went on nicely for a time. Like that, people got into their work, you know, things prospered and so many things developed and all that. But the actual real need to discuss with neighbors what goes on in the neighborhood in prajalpa, then has now been solved. By you don't have to know the guy next door at all. You don't have to know anybody, even at work, because you can meet all the people you want on the internet. And then, therefore, with those neighbors in that neighborhood, now you can discuss prajalpa. So now all's right in the world again. Yes? Yes. Yes.
In one sense, it's very easy to be Krishna consciousness in that environment because Krishna is very prominent.
Yes.
Naturally, and he's a small boy,
right?
And it's natural to talk about this kind of things.
Yes.
But I guess you don't have it. That's why I'm happy.
Yes. Yes. but we're given the opportunities how to develop it. So it's just, it's because here, it said here, they want to hear again and again. So we're being given the opportunity to hear about Krishna's pastimes and do this and that. And so the more we take it seriously to hear about these pastimes, then the more we find that we are absorbed and see things from that point. Just like if you're, let's say, you're reading, then you'll tend to discuss what you read. You'll work it into whatever you're talking about. But if you don't read, you won't. Or if you're reading, but it's not Shastra, then you'll work that in. You know, so in other words, whatever you hear, because that's the most important, that's what gets worked in. So if we put ourselves in an environment where we're hearing more about Krishna, then we will do that. And then we'll get that taste, and then we'll give up wanting to hear about other things. It won't give a taste. So unless it's connected with the service, then it's not important. We're not interested. Does that make sense? You know, if it's necessary for service, then you discuss all the gory details that are necessary. But if it's not connected with the service, therefore it doesn't have the taste. Because before we thought that the japa has a taste. Because, you know, it's something we're interested in, about, you know, things that we're interested in. So people were interested in. But it doesn't have the taste because we're not the body, we're not the conditioning. All the other people we're interested in are not also. So we're not actually talking about anything real. So something unreal can't give satisfaction to the soul who's real. And so then the devotees in Vrindavan, because what they're hearing about is Krishna, who's the most real. Right? Now, the origin of all reality and anything connected to him, that connection, that's there where we see reality. Then, hearing about his pastimes there, then we become very inspired, very enlightened.
Because when we discuss with devotees, Partiva and Vaikuntha Rasa, many times, especially ladies, they get offended. Because when you present it logically and say, whatever you experience with your kids, it's a Partiva Rasa, it's not spiritual. And then it's all, you know, it's all emotions.
Yes, because they don't distinguish between, that's the point. That is the point where is the that's the one point where the term is used less intelligent. Because they're not distinguishing between the Vaikuntha rasa and the Swargiya and Partiva rasas. Because, so it's a matter of emotions can be perceived. So the perception is emotions. Now, whether they're spiritual or material in the beginning is not what's important. That there is emotions, they are being tasted. And it is creating a fullness in your life and giving you something to talk about. Even if it's negative, as long as from that, then you can taste something. Taste getting annoyed, taste and talking to others about how you're annoyed. You know, something. It creates like this, that you can talk again and again about yourself and what you're interested in. So then, that's why then if one's in an environment where it's all about Krishna, then all these tastes will be in connection to Krishna. That's why then if you're trying to raise your child to be Krishna conscious, then all the different things that the child does that are connected or in some way useful in Krishna consciousness, then become the natural discussion. Then it's non-different. So that's the whole point, is women will go from straight up front material to straight spiritual. There's no spiritual, transcendental. In this we're using spiritual to mean the platform of liberation, and transcendental mean the dynamic aspects of interaction with Krishna. Women will go to material rasa to spiritual rasa. Men can go from material rasa to spiritual and then to spiritual rasa. So women don't do that. It's one or the other. So that's the point where you say less intelligent. But as far as dynamic, is if the woman can be talking about Krishna, it's already accomplished. So it's actually more efficient. But the problem is it's not necessarily sustainable. So in other words, the woman's method is more efficient, but less sustainable. The men's is more sustainable, but slower. But if you're into mechanics, then it works. Women aren't into mechanics. Mechanics are only a support of rasa. So if by, let's say, doing an activity, then that will bring about interaction. They do the activity. But if in starting the activity, the interaction starts happening, they stop the activity. Right? Does that make sense? You know, they say they're doing something, they say they're cooking or something. And then they get into the talking and this and that, and something comes up, and oh, really? And then they're talking on the phone and this and all kinds of things. Cooking stopped. And then the husband comes home and, you know, what happened? He says, so, important things came up. And the guy's thinking, what's important about that? Dinner, that's important, right? You know? So, because it's about rasa. You know, the rasa of interaction, the emotions and all that, while the man works on the mechanical. So for him, men get together to do something, you know, like they say, fix the car or something. It's about fixing the car. So when the car is fixed, now that's good. You know? But for the woman, if she's tasting the thing and if she's still in that mood, when the husband comes, she's still going to keep talking like that. And then after this and that and all, the guy doesn't get upset. You know, if he gets upset, then yes, it will stop that mood there, but it means she'll go to her room. And the room and the kitchen generally aren't the same place, and so cooking's not going to happen. So hence, you know, the magnanimous welfare arrangement of fast food companies who created Maggie noodles so that the guy doesn't starve. Because he will starve, the woman won't starve because she's nourished off of the emotions she's getting from that previous pajalpa, and now adding to it being upset by her husband. So it gets even more full and intense. So she's good. Right? Right? The guy misses one meal, he loses weight. She can go for days and be fine. Right? Because it's just a matter of where you get your nourishment. Yeah. And if you could somehow introduce it, it would be viral. Yeah, it would be the thing. Problem is all the men that would have a problem because they would have to fix their own dinner every day. But whenever they did go out to dinner, then they would be happy, right? You know? Yes. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that you'll find that because of that aspect. So you have to show how that taste is there. Okay, let's just take, for example, the child. And they're gaining that child, that parental affection. But the whole point is that's there. That's the taste. But not that there's a problem with that taste, because technically they're not, because all it is a taste of the universal form. So the material conditioning of the parent, that's a universal form, is interacting with the material conditioning of the child, which is universal form. And if they follow the prescribed methods that match the partiva or swargiya rasa, then that taste will be there. So technically on one point, it's not actually the problem. The problem comes is that the soul won't be happy they're satisfied. You have to have Krishna involved. So it has to be that they're happy seeing the kid being growing in Krishna consciousness, engaging in Krishna consciousness. Then all those tastes that they get then have a value. Now they're connected to Krishna consciousness. You understand? So you don't stop what's there, because using that thing, material, spiritual, transcendental, won't work if they're women. Means it'll work that you can point it out that they stop there, as long as you're not negating the other. You're showing that that's there, that gives the this, but there's beyond that. Then it's a matter of going through. So only if liberation is a taste, then it'll make sense. Because for women, as we said, it's not the mechanics of the things, the taste that mechanics bring. So if, and so some may say, oh, but there's some women are very skilled and very expert at the mechanics, but they're getting a taste from it. That's why they're doing it. The moment that taste stops, they stop doing it. Right? Does that make sense? So like the man, he goes to work every day. He may hate his job, hate the people he's at, hate commuting, hate everything, but he'll do it every day. But if that's with the woman, she won't do it. So it's just the way it goes. So she may say, no, but they stay at the job. Why? Because of the attachment and the feelings of the family and all those kind of things. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. So even though he doesn't like it, it still has the mechanical element, even though there's no taste. You know, now and again you have to be reminded why get involved in these mechanics, hence the picture on the table. Right? You know, or the picture in the wallet, you know. So every time, you know, why in the wallet? And on the table, then it does the family thing, why you work. Why the wallet? Is that every time, yeah, it means you open, you see, but then you don't spend the money because, yeah, you get, okay, yeah. Or you do spend the money, yeah, either way. But you have to know who you're spending it for. Yeah, yes.
Whose wallet is that?
Yes. You're only an instrument, the caretaker of the wallet, and an instrument in the application of the wallet. Yeah. Excuse me, I didn't bring out the full detail. A little distracted by some of the, you know, the man style. So the reality wasn't fully brought out. Does that make sense? Yeah. So. In other words, when you're dealing with attachment, in other words, if there's detachment, then you can use that and then use the detachment to go to the transcendental. But if you see attachment, you have to take the attachment and show through that, through the universal form and all that, because that can be understood. Because you're just going from one attachment to another attachment. So I'm showing, I think the attachment is the body, but it actually it's universal form, and actually that's Krishna. So you're containing the continuity of attachment. Well, with the masculine things, you're cutting off the attachment. But that's still not complete unless you become attached to Krishna. Mm-hmm. So that's why the mistake is made is, oh, I'm attached to this detachment. That's a mistake for the men. And I'm attached to the attachment. That's a mistake for the women. Mm-hmm. Right? And then the biggest mistake is the men who are attached to the women. So that's even worse than what the women's attachment. Right? Because that's the natural position. You know, so that's then the. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Sama Beta Bhaktivinoda ki,
Jai
Nitai Gaura Premanandi.